I ask you to turn, if you would, please, over to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. We will read verse 1 down through verse 17. Exodus 20, verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. My text will be verse 12 through verse 17. I invite you to turn to the book of Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Years ago, I learned the expression, if there's anything that's wrong between me and my wife, then there's something wrong between me and God, or something wrong with her and God, or both of us. So if there's anything ever wrong, there's something wrong between us and God, if there's anything wrong between us. Therefore, if we are right with God, we will be right with each other. And I think this also applies to anyone else in my realm of experience. If we are right with God, then we will be right with each other. Obviously, if I mistreat my neighbor or steal from my fellow man or lie about my friends or have an affair, I am not right with them, and I'm certainly not right with God. If they steal from me or lie about me or have an affair with my wife, then they are not right with me, nor are they right with God. Now, we are all familiar with the Ten Commandments. We just read them. And they are God's will expressed. God is holy. Thus, His commandments express holiness and purity. Instead of removing them from society, they should be displayed in prominence. Instead of ignoring them, they should be observed. The Ten Commandments are God's basic laws given to man. This is how we should live. This is how we should treat one another. This is how we should respond to God. Now, it is my objective to consider the Ten Commandments along with other biblical expressions for the purpose of reminding us that they are the code of conduct. Further, understanding that ultimately love is the outcome. If I sin in any capacity, I am not loving others, or I am not loving God as I should. I want to speak to you of what I have entitled, Ten Commandments Conduct. Now, actually, I'm going to focus on the latter half of the commandments. We understand our approach to God, and we don't have enough time to talk about our religious aspect, worship. All that will be involved, of course. But I'm going to focus on the human aspect, those last commandments. But the title of my message is Ten Commandments Conduct. Let's pray. God in heaven, thank you for the privilege of being in your house, and I ask that you would just speak to our hearts today. And if there's anyone here that is lost, we ask that you would convict them of their sin and draw them to Jesus, grant unto them repentance and faith that they'd be saved even today. May we who are saved rejoice in the salvation we have in Christ Jesus, and may we also, as we look in these things, be reminded of our duty to love you and to love each other, to live well. And Lord, may we be living our lives according to the guidelines which you've laid down. And may our conduct be expressed through your commandments. And so, Father, let us be as we ought to be. Forgive us for our sins and draw us unto you. And we commit these things to you today. We love you and we honor you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I've asked you to turn to the book of Galatians chapter 3 for a purpose, because I want to give you just a few preliminaries before I really get into the message. Because as I talk about the Ten Commandments, there are three things I want to bring to your attention and I want to make abundantly clear. And one is God's righteousness in the law. God's righteousness is seen in the law, and this is God's moral law. You want to know what God is? Look into the commandments, because it demonstrates the character of God, the expression of His purity and His holiness. And Galatians chapter 3, where I've asked you to turn, I want you to notice verse 10. And by the way, if you want to ever be righteous, you need to have righteousness. And where is that going to become? That's obedience to the law. Now, don't get excited. I'll explain that in just a second. Galatians 3:10, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." I want you to know today, if you're here and you say you're getting to heaven by your good works, or you're going to get to heaven by keeping the commandments, and you think that to be true, I want you to understand what that verse just said to you. It said, "Cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Look down to verse 12. It says, "And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them." That means if you believe you're getting to heaven by living a good life, treating your neighbor right, keeping the Ten Commandments, then you're going to have to do it all the time, without exception, 24/7, 365, and you can never, ever, ever make a mistake. Now, I think that ought to be very clear right now. You've already done fouled up. But there is righteousness in keeping the law. And if it were possible for us to keep all the commandments and do everything perfect, even from birth, and if God had made it possible for us to be purified from birth, well, then that'd be a different story. But there is righteousness in keeping the law. But then secondly, I want to make it very clear that the purpose of God's law was to prove our sinfulness. God did not give the Ten Commandments in order for you to look at that and say, "This is what I need to do to get to heaven, and I'm going to checklist this off, and then if I do good enough, I'll get in." That's not the purpose at all. You're still there in Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse 24. It says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith." The law was a schoolmaster, a teacher, a trainer, to show us our sin. And that's exactly what the law does. If you ever run into anybody that says they have not sinned, they've never done anything wrong, take them to the Ten Commandments and say, "Have you always done this all the time without exception and without fail?" And of course they have not. And if they're honest with themselves and honest with you, they will say, "No, I haven't done it." That means they are a sinner. They have transgressed the laws of God. God gave the Ten Commandments not for us to gain perfection by keeping them, but to show us that we cannot keep them, that we do not have perfection, and that we're sinful. Very important that you understand that, because you need to recognize that you're a sinner, and that law is not going to get you into heaven. The third thing I want to mention, and turn back to Romans chapter 3, the book of Romans chapter 3, and noticing that God's law was entered into the world, God brought it into us for the purpose of showing us our sinfulness. In chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight." Notice, "For by the law is the knowledge of sin." Just keep that in mind. That being said, we see it in the text. Number 3, we cannot be saved by the law, but we're saved by faith. I'm glad it's not up to me to keep the commandments. Because one, I've not done it, and then I'm already under it, under the gun, I'm already guilty. But if it was up to me to keep it, I wouldn't keep it. You wouldn't keep it. You can't keep it. And I'm glad that salvation is not by keeping the law, but by faith. So you'll notice the next verse, Romans chapter 3, look at verse 21. "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested." We need righteousness, but you're not going to get it by keeping the commandments. "The righteousness of the law of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law of the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. And so understand, my friend, that we're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look over to chapter 4 of the book of Romans. Look at verse 16. It says in the first part of that verse, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. And then chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified, that word justified means declared righteous. Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That being said, go back to our text, Exodus chapter 20. Because we're dealing with the Ten Commandments, I wanted to make it very, very clear before I even started into the message that yes, there is righteousness found in the commandments, but you know what? We can't do it. We can't earn it. We can't deserve it. We can never fulfill it. So we'll never receive righteousness through the law. And so God gave us the law to show us we're sinful, to show us we cannot be righteous. That way we would turn to Jesus Christ, repent and believe on Him, that we might have eternal life. The law cannot save us, but we're saved by grace through faith. So no matter what I say today, do not leave out of here saying, oh, well, I got to keep the commandments to be saved. I did not say that. I will not say that. And so I just want to make that very, very clear. You cannot be saved by living a good life and keeping the commandments of God. All right, now, the Ten Commandments conduct. What are we looking at? Exodus chapter 20. We're going to look at the last part of the Ten Commandments as is stated within the text. And I have the preliminaries as my first point of the message, if you're following along. The second point of my message is the Ten Commandments relationship to human conduct. Does the Ten Commandments have any relationship to our conduct? Now notice what we read in our passage. I want to express unto you in verse 12 through verse 17, very brief passage that we have here. People have expressed it this way. The Ten Commandments talk about a vertical and a horizontal. Vertical is our relationship to God. Horizontal is our relationship with man. The first half of the commandments deal with our relationship with God. We don't have any other God. We don't bow down to any other God. We serve God only. We worship Him. And we obey Him, and we don't take His name in vain, and that kind of thing. That's vertical. I want to deal with the horizontal application. Man to man, person to person. Verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Horizontally, man to man, person to person, there are things that are expressed here that govern our conduct. First of all, children, you're to honor your parents. That's what we see in the text. The word honor there means that which is honorable, that which is weighty. There's a respect, a reverence. You esteem it as high value, that which is very precious. Honor your father and mother. We find thou shalt not kill. The word specifically deals with not killing, but specifically, or generally, it speaks of the matter of not murdering. I do believe it is a government's right and commandment of God that they can execute the death penalty. That's the government's right, not mine. I'm not to be an avenger, and we don't have that. But thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not murder. Commit adultery, you know what that means. It's a breaking of wedlock. Steal, we know that word means to thieve, to steal. By implication, it means to deceive. Thou shalt not steal. Bear false witness. Now, of course, bearing a false witness is a false, something which is false, or something which is untrue, something that's a lie, something is a deceit. And so we don't want to be a false witness. We don't want to be a false testimony about other people. Have you ever told a lie about somebody, spread something that wasn't true? You got a rumor, you got a hold of it, told that, you know what? You bore false witness. We're told not to do that kind of thing. Covet. And there were several things that is mentioned in the text. Generally, it's synopsized, thou shalt not covet. But the verse talks about the house, the wife, the manservant, the maidservant, the animals, and so forth. Thou shalt not covet. The word means delight in. It is to have a desire of, a lust. Now, those are the definitions of the Hebrew terms. If you look in the New Testament, you see where these same terms are used. And I made reference to that in my message over to Romans chapter 13. We'll look at that later. All the Greek terms mean the same thing. The idea. And you all understand that. You know English, and these English terms are translated for the Hebrew and the Greek are accurate terms. You know what these things mean. You know what it means to honor your parents. And you know what it means not to kill or not to steal or not to commit adultery, not to bear false witness, and not to covet. You might have to be a little weak on that one. But you know that desire, coveting and wanting other things. Thou shalt not covet. Now turn, if you would, to the book of Matthew chapter 22. If you look at those commandments of which we read, you can govern your life by those commandments. And you know what? If you really, truly govern your life by those commandments that we just noticed, you will not sin against your neighbor. You will not sin against your spouse. You will not sin against your children or your coworkers or anybody if you actually follow all those commands and all of its expressions and implications. You will not do anything wrong against anybody. That's a problem, isn't it? Because we do wrong, don't we? We're sinners. But that we know this is true. We've already expressed that. But notice that we have the horizontal application, the Ten Commandments directed one toward another. Here in Matthew chapter 22, we find that the Ten Commandments, or what's commonly called the law, the Ten Commandments are summarized. Look, pick it up in verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, now notice how Jesus summarizes the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. That's a summary of the first commandments that we see in the passage. The second, which we're noticing, verse 39, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So all those commands of which we saw and we just noticed there in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 through verse 17, is summarized by the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And so when you think about the Ten Commandments, it all boils down to that. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. That's what it may be summarized as. But keeping that in mind, turn over to the book of Luke, chapter 10. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. So horizontally, not vertically, horizontally, keeping the commandments, and we're going to have, if we have a commandment conduct, then we're going to love our neighbor as ourself. And so here in Luke chapter 10, I direct your attention to verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what is written in the law, how readest thou? Notice his response. He answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. He understood, didn't he? Apparently he had heard Jesus teach before, and the summary, because he summarized it just like Jesus had summarized it. Jesus then responded to him, verse 28. He said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. I mean, if you could do it, and if you could have done it from the start, then you have righteousness. But the problem is, you didn't do it from the start, you can't do it. But why does Jesus do that? Jesus expresses in that way because he wants to prove to the guy that his self-righteousness is not good enough, that he is a sinner, and he, if he looks into the law and really examines it, then he's going to find out he's condemned. Then he'll have an opportunity to turn to the Lord. Proof of that is that the very next verse it says, but he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? He had to throw out some sort of qualification. So when we look at the passage in Matthew chapter 22, and we saw the summary was loving God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself, this lawyer understood that. But he did what we will do. We'll say, whoa, who's my neighbor? We want to qualify it. We want to put some distinctions down. We don't want to treat everybody the way we ought to treat them. We want to be able to treat some people the way we want to, and other people the way we want to, and other people another way yet altogether, and get by with it. And so this guy says, well, who is my neighbor? And what you have then following that is the parable of the Good Samaritan. And you can read it from verse 29 down through verse 37. But it's just an expression of a person that was traveling. He became victim. And the religious people were coming by, the religious leaders, the Levite, and the priests were come by. Nobody would help this guy, but a Samaritan, an alien, you know, I mean, he was rejected by the Jews. This guy went out of his way to help a Jewish fellow who had been beaten by these thieves and left by the wayside to die. And he went, took care of him, paid for his healing and all that kind of a thing. And Jesus just simply said, well, who is the, out of all these people, who were the neighbor? Who was the neighbor? And of course, the lawyer understood it was the one that had mercy on him. And what that really tells us is, it tells us who our neighbor is. Anybody in any need whatsoever is our neighbor. Anybody to whom we should show mercy to is our neighbor. So we can't look at the commandments and say, well, I understand the commandments and I need to love my neighbor as myself. However, that neighbor's of a different skin color, so I'm not going to treat them like I do these people. That person's of a different nationality. I'm not going to treat them as I do other, these people. That would be wrong, wouldn't it? All men are the same. And so we have to understand that they're all of our neighbors. And so, you know what the Bible tells us? And just a couple examples that are expressed in the New Testament scriptures. In Romans chapter 15, verse 2, it says, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. We are to please our neighbor for good to edification, to build up. How can I be a help to my neighbor? And I'm not just talking about the person, and neither is the scripture, just not talking about the person that lives next door to you. We say, well, those are my neighbors. It's any person. And so it could be your neighbor next door to you, could be a person across the street, could be a block over, could be halfway through this city, or anywhere around the world. You know what? Every man is our neighbor. If you come into contact with them, we're responsible to treat them according to Ten Commandment conduct. And so if you travel and you go to a foreign country and you land a plane over there, say you go over to France or England or any place like that, anywhere you pick any place in the world, you land a plane, you get out and you see a nationality there, oh, I'm going to steal from them because you know what? They're not American. Well, we know better than that. Anywhere we go in this world, we still should not kill. We still should not steal. We still should not commit adultery. We still should not covet. We still should not bear false witness. You see, because it's commandment conduct that's directed toward our neighbor. And we ought to please our neighbors for his good to edification. The second example is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, where it says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Oh, I want to make sure that you also understand it's also our family. You know, I mean, it's those within our house and our relatives and our cousins and our uncles and our aunts. All people are our neighbors. My wife is my neighbor. My children are my neighbors. You see? How am I to treat them? Oh, well, that's your spouse. You can do anything you want to her. No, I cannot. I need to treat her with commandment conduct. I need to treat my children with commandment conduct. You know why? Because it's summarized, love your neighbor as yourself. You get the gist of the message, that the Ten Commandments has a relationship to human conduct. Now, if you would, turn over to the book of Romans, chapter 13. So we're told that we are to live a certain way, and that was summarized by loving our neighbor as ourself. Well, notice how Paul expresses this a little bit further in Romans, chapter 13. Look at verse 8. He says, owe no man anything but to love one another. That's all men everywhere, right? Sure it is. We know that. We're to love one another. For he that loveth another, notice what it says, hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment. It is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And see how it's expressed in the very next verse. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And so you say, what is the commandment conduct? Loving our neighbors. Loving my family. Loving the stranger. Loving anybody I ever come into contact with. Love fulfills the law. And if I love my wife, I will not steal from her. If I love my wife, I will not commit adultery. If I love my wife, I will not lie about her. If I love my wife, I won't covet anything that she has. You get the gist? If you love your neighbor, you're not kicking in their back door and home invading. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to siphon their gas out of their tank. You're not going to lie to the other neighbors about them and make up stories. You see? You're not going to commit adultery with that person at work if you love that person and you love your spouse. You won't do it. When we sin, it's because we fail to love. And if I sin against my wife, it's because I'm not loving her as I ought to do. Because the commandment concept says that I need to, that those things are fulfilled by loving one another. Love works no ill to his neighbor. And so if I mistreat my wife, I'm not loving her as I should. If I mistreat my children, I'm not loving them as I should. If I mistreat you, I'm not loving you as I should. And so we see that love fulfills the law. And so if you say, well, I want to live a good life. I want to live a pure life. I want to live a life that's holy and pure and pleasing to God. Then love one another. Now, of course, the first half of the commandments is to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. But we're dealing on the horizontal today. So love everybody else the way God wants you to love. And if you do, you will not do ill toward them. Love fulfills the law. Listen to Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. And this verse is found in the practical section of Galatians. Paul, when he writes, he often writes a very doctrinal treatise, and then he'll give a practical explanation and how to put it into practice and how to live. This is rooted into that. Galatians 5:14 says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So I think it's clear. I need to love my neighbor as myself. And don't step back and say, well, who's my neighbor? Everyone is your neighbor. And so, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, this is also called the royal law out of the book of James, chapter 2, verse 8. It says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Ye do well. You know, that ought to be a goal for us. I want to love my neighbor as I love myself. I want to love my spouse as I love myself. I want to love my children as I love myself. I want to love my parents as I love myself. I want to love my cousin, my aunts, my uncles, my grandparents, my co-workers. No matter who it is, I want to love them as I love myself. That's fulfilling the royal law. We call it the golden rule, don't we? Do you know what Matthew chapter 7, verse 12 says? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. We say the golden rule is, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, that really, that's not a statement from, oh, well, the golden rule is keeping the commandments in that regard. Loving your neighbor is, but it's a good statement of it, isn't it? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Do you really want to be treated the way you treat other people? Do you really want to be talked to like you talk to other people? Do you want to be ignored like the way you ignore other people? I'll tell you, you know, we just need to look at ourselves and say, no, wait a minute, how I'm conducting myself, would I really want to be treated that way? And so we can judge our lives and we can look at ourselves and we can look into the law and see very quickly how we're doing in this matter of loving one another. And you have to keep in mind what I said from the start. If I'm not loving one another very well, I'm not loving God very well. Because if I'm wrong horizontally, I guarantee you I'm wrong vertically.
If I'm right vertically, I'll be right horizontally.
So we need to love one another. Now then, turn back to Matthew chapter 5. I've submitted unto you that the Ten Commandments relationship to human conduct. I think we see that in the Scripture, and you see it really comes out to an expression of love, isn't it? The last part of my message is this, before I draw a very brief conclusion, is I want to make it very clear as well that this is just not a legal act, but a heart response. I've asked you to turn to Matthew 5, but I want to discuss another text very quickly. There's an example. There's something that what the Apostle Paul states over in Romans chapter 7, verse 7. Listen as I read it to you. Paul says this. And what I'm trying to demonstrate to you is it's just not a legal act, but it needs to be a heart response. We'll develop this as we go to Matthew 5. But Paul said this. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. He says, nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. By the way, that was why the law was given, right? For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Now, both of those words come from the same kind of root word. One's a noun, one's a verb. The word lust means an earnest desire, irregular, or a violent desire. Often we specifically think of it as an impure desire or an impure lust. But just because Paul says, I had not known lust, because it said, thou shalt not covet, doesn't mean that it's talking about a sexual lust, which is what we automatically normally place that under. Oh, thou shalt not lust, reverse to sexuality. Therefore, Paul says, I wouldn't have known lust except it said, thou shalt not covet. Which is true. You don't covet your neighbor's wife. You don't lust after her. Ladies, you don't lust after the men. That kind of thing. You don't lust after the maidservant or the men servant. But it also said you don't lust after the oxen or the mules or any of those things. You don't do that. You know why? What it is, it's desiring. What if the Apostle Paul, instead of being a sexual thing here, maybe just is tired of his chariot. And, his chariot's wore out. His springs aren't working very well. And things all faded. And he just would love to, his neighbor gets a brand new chariot. And he just, boy, I wish I had a chariot like that. And you know what? If I had a chariot like that, I'd even put spinners on it. You got to be very, very careful. So your coworker gets a raise. You don't get one. You covet that. You know that's sin. Your family member buys a new car. Yours is still a bucket of bolts. You covet that. That's sin. You get the idea, don't you? And you know the TV and the advertising, they work off of covetousness. Everything you see, you know what it is? They're popping that up there because if they can get you to want it, you'll go get it. That's why around dinner time and all that kind of thing, you always see the food commercials. Because they know naturally you're hungry. And when you see that, and they pop up that Domino's pizza. I wonder if they'll give me money for saying their name. That'd be covetous, wouldn't it? Usually they pop that Domino's pizza up there, all of a sudden you go, man, you know what? I could really go for a pizza. You know how that works? Is there anything wrong with desiring a pizza? No. It's okay to desire a pizza. But say you don't have the money, you covet that. Yeah, it's wrong, wouldn't it? So, it's a heart thing. Covetous starts in the heart. That's the example I wanted to give. Because you know what? You can do the legal acts outwardly. You can keep the commandments outwardly. But we're going to see in just a second that it's just not the outward stuff. It's where the heart is. So, lusting, desires, all start in the heart. So, you're there in Matthew chapter 5, right? Jesus, in his application of the Sermon on the Mount, and here in Matthew chapter 5, what you find is that Jesus makes an application to thought as well as to the deed, to the spirit as to the letter. For example, verse 21, verse 22, he mentions the commandment, thou shalt not kill. That's a legal command. You have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you,
Jesus leaves the letter of the law, the legal aspect of the law, and says that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. And what he is saying is there's more than just the legal. Nobody here, to my knowledge, has killed anybody, but there's a high chance that through your lifetime, you've been so angry at somebody that, you know what? You've killed them in your heart. And Jesus says, that's the same. Now, I know in society it isn't the same. If you think about killing someone, or you're so angry, that hatred, you know what it is? That hatred will lead to that. You're guilty. You're guilty. That's what Jesus is saying here. But I say unto you. So it's more than just the letter of the law. Look at it as another example, verse 27. This would be more familiar for us. You've heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in her heart, in his heart. Where does it begin? Right here in the heart. You don't have to go out and commit the actual act. You've broken the commandment when you brought it into your heart, when you brought it into your mind, when you have the lust that is there and the desire, and you covet what you do not have. And you've broken the commandment of God. And so when we speak of Ten Commandment conduct, and I just don't want you to think of just the literal aspect of the letter of the law, but it goes much further than that, and that's why these things will lend itself to every aspect of our life. Because just technically, if you go down there to the letter of the law, these six things which are expressed, that doesn't cover everything in our life, but if you think of all the spirit and all the aspects to those kind of things, it does. Now, I want to remind you, as I just want to develop and finish this idea of the heart response as well as a legal. Paul gave us a definition of a true Jew in Romans chapter 2. I'm going to read this to you. In verse 28 and verse 29 he says this, "For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart and in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God." He's saying, you know what, you Jews, you can keep all the commandments and you can keep the sacrifices, you can do all that, but if it's not originating from the heart and you don't have a right heart response, all that outward stuff means absolutely zero, nothing. Because you have to have faith in your heart, and you have to know what that's for and what that pictures. And because those Jews kept all the commandments. And you know that's the same thing with Christianity. And we mention this because we've been going through the book of Romans. You know, in Christianity isn't, well, coming to church, reading your Bible, doing all these kind of things. You know what? You can do all the outwards, and you can be legalistic in your concept, and you can keep the commands, and you can make checklists and say, I've done this and I've done that. But you know what? What is in your heart? Why do you do those things? Where's the faith? What are you really trusting in? There are multitudes of people today keeping the letter of the law as far as they're concerned. They believe they're Christians, and you know what? They reject Jesus Christ. They think they're getting to heaven because of their good life. They are not, are they? And so, when I talk about Ten Commandment conduct, it's just not the legal aspect, but it also applies to that of the heart. So not only is it you ought not do it physically, you ought not do it outwardly or socially, but don't let it even be entertained in your heart. Because when we do, we sin against God. So what might we learn from all this? This is my conclusion. I'm just going to list these things off. You've heard the message, and I hope that God's spoken to your heart and seen the relationship of the Ten Commandments and our conduct. Let me summarize it through. What might we learn from all this? First of all, the Ten Commandments are an expression of God's moral character, and we ought not ignore them. I think that's clear. Number two, the Ten Commandments can be summarized as loving God and loving others. Jesus summarized it that way, so we certainly can. Number three, the Ten Commandments address our conduct toward God and toward others. It's vertical, it's horizontal. You want to know how to live? Read the Ten Commandments and respond to it, not just legally, but from the heart. Number four, if I love others as I should, I will not do evil against them, and I will not be breaking the Ten Commandments. What do we read? If you keep the commandments, if you love your neighbor, you won't do them any harm. And so if I'm going to love you as I ought, I will not sin against you. I will not break the commandments against you. Number five, then it follows that when I sin in any capacity toward others, I am breaking God's commandments and I'm not loving them as I should. If I ever sin against you in any capacity, I've broken the commandments of God and I'm not loving you as I should. If I sin against my wife, I've broken the commandments somewhere and I'm not loving her as I ought. Number six, as God's creatures, we should love one another. You say, well, I'm not a Christian. I can treat anybody however I want. No, as the creatures of God, you better treat each other the way God intends for you to treat other people. You ought to take the medical creed, do no harm. That's the way we ought to approach other people. Do no harm. Number seven, as Christians, though, certainly, if we name the name of Christ as Christians, we should love one another. Jesus taught us that. John 13, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And so as a Christian above all people in this world, who should demonstrate love? Who should demonstrate Ten Commandment conduct? It's the Christian. It's me. It's you. And then our neighbor means, and I want to make it very clear, I've said it through the service, but our neighbor means not just the guy that lives next door, but our neighbor means our spouse, our child or our children. It means our brother or sister, parents, friends, neighbors, co-workers, complete strangers, on and on and on, the list goes, anyone. And if the home's in trouble, if they're having difficulty, you know what? Sin's going on. It's as simple as that. Trouble at work? Sin is going on. Trouble in the neighborhood? Sin is going on. You're not obeying the commandments of God, and you're not loving each other as you should. And so I submit unto you finally, and I'm finished. Our conduct is to be governed by the Ten Commandments. And really what that is just an expression of love, isn't it? Because didn't it say that love fulfills the law? So may I love you the way I should. And may you love me the way you should. And may we all love one another the way we ought to. And when we do, that will be Ten Commandment conduct. Because we'll love God first and we'll love our neighbor as ourselves. And that includes all people. Family and stranger. Friends or foe. Let us love as God desires for us to love. And if you're here today, I want to make it very clear. If you're here today and you're lost, you cannot get to heaven by keeping the commandments. You cannot decide, oh, I'm lost. I'll just start living right. It'll never happen. You know why? Because you're already guilty. And you can't do it even if you could start. You're already guilty. You need the Savior. You need the righteousness which Jesus alone can provide. And what you need to do is repent and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to forgive you and to save you. And that's where it's at right there. That's how you can have a relationship with God. And you can be made right with Him. It's through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I'd like for us to stand and sing. I appreciate your patience. And I pray that God has spoken to your heart today. Let's stand. The invitation simply is this. Right where you are, if you're lost and God showed you that you're a sinner and you don't know the Savior yet, right where you are, will you repent and believe on the Lord? Would you trust in Jesus and be saved today? And if you're saved, man, thank Him for the salvation He's given to you. But you ought to ask Him, God, give me the grace that I need to love my neighbor as myself, to love my wife, to love my children, to love my friend, to love my fellow church members, and on and on and on. May I love the way you want me to love. Because that's what He desires. That's Ten Commandment conduct. Ask God to do that in your heart today. Father, thank You for the day. Thank You for Your Word. Bless it to every one of us and meet every need. You know the needs of everyone here. And I ask, God, that You would work in my heart a Ten Commandment conduct that I might love You and love my neighbor as myself, that, Lord, I would be pleasing to You in the way I treat others.